Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to WAMRDB, Atlanta Mix Radio, a woman's station, the new look and feel of radio. We are now syndicated. You can find us on Blog Talk, Mixcloud, SoundCloud, the TuneIn app, YouTube, Spreaker, and Facebook Live. We'll be discussing a wide array of topics such as domestic violence, Me Too, sex trafficking, and health. Check us out on the World Wide Web at www.AtlantaMixRadio.com. Atlanta Mix Radio, the woman station, the new look and feel of radio.
Smile. Oh, honey, he's still not smiling.
Maybe he's not a smiler.
Yeah, maybe he's just not a happy baby.
Maybe he's just being a boy.
Or maybe he's teething.
Maybe it's just a phase.
Maybe he has autism, and we can definitely do something to help.
Maybe is all you need to find out more about autism. No Big Joyful Smiles by 6 months is one early sign. Learn the others at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
When I was little, I didn't talk for a long time. I was sensitive to lights and sounds, so I'd build secret hiding places where they couldn't get in. Sometimes, I'd do the same things over and over, until one day, I found out I had autism. My family got me help. Slowly, I learned how to live with it better.
Early intervention can make a lifetime of difference. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
It's Thursday night, and you're grabbing drinks with some friends. Started off with a pitcher for the table, which quickly becomes two. There's pool. And there's the photo booth.
All right, everybody squeeze in. Say cheese!
Followed naturally by an order of wings. And another.
Can we get some extra ranch sauce?
Then there's the ceremonial nightcap.
So what are we doing this weekend?
And lastly, it's back to the car, which, if you're buzzed, could be the most expensive night of your life. Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National...
You are listening to WAMRDB, our panel discussion with Pains of Purpose radio show with Mr. George Rogers, the big man himself, on WAMRDB tonight. We are listening by phone if you want to call in at 516-387-1251. Please do so. We have a panel discussion with guest Mr. Derek Lester of Hard Knock Foundation Mentorship Program for Adolescents for Boys, Timothy Johnson, Dean Sawyer, the Mentorship Program for Adolescents for Boys, and of course, the queen herself, Ms. Shonda Roberts, I'm going to bring everybody into the show. Please be conscious of the fact that we not need any background noises, but please mute your phone and let us know when you want to have something to say. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to introduce you all by the, since everybody is down in the warm country, I'm just going to say your six-digit number, and please introduce yourself. So we got Shonda. Please let everybody know who you have on the call with you today.
Good evening, everyone. This is Shonda Roberts with Pain and Purpose. We have none other than my husband, my best friend, my ace, George Roberts. Say good evening, honey.
Good evening, everyone. Good evening. My pleasure to be here.
And
blessings, Mr. Roberts. Blessings. Hold on. Blessings, Mr. Roberts. We just want to thank you for all that you do. We keep that one right there sane and safe.
No doubt. Wouldn't happen no other way. Thank you.
Don't start with me, Kariba. Okay. And then we have Mr. Timothy Johnson. Are you on the line?
Hey, how you doing? Thank you for having me on the show today.
Thank you for being on the show and being available with my last minute stuff. I'm so sorry. But I appreciate your willingness to assist in this conversation.
No problem. It's an honor. It's definitely an honor to be on the show tonight and speak on this this matter.
Thank you. Also, I believe we have Mr. Derek Lester. Are you on the line, Mr. Lester?
Yes, how y'all doing there?
Yes, he made it. Great. All right, thank you also, Mr. Lester, for coming on. I really appreciate you all. Thank you so much. Mr. Johnson, go ahead and just explain or tell us who you are and what it is that you do really quick.
Hi, yes, my name is Timothy Johnson. I also go by the name of Coach Tip. Basically, I'm just a mentor to a lot of these young guys, ranging from Homestead up to Palm Beach County, using sports, of course, to mentor these guys. Basically, like, I do some of the same things that Mr. Lester does. He's actually a guy who I look up to and learn from. Basically, just take kids to different little areas, different colleges and things, and it's just so they can see something different.
Awesome. Thank you. And Mr. Lester, can you please let us know how you contribute to our community as well?
Well, one of the things that started about 10 years ago was a youth organization called the Hard Knocks Foundation, which give adolescent boys and at-risk boys using football as a platform, mainly to save their lives and keep them out of trouble. We have got an opportunity to travel to the country with these boys who would never get that opportunity to get exposure because they just don't have finance and funds. And, you know, they're from a lot of the poor urban communities. And our foundation is sort of set up to level the playing field where they'll get an opportunity to, you know, not just play football, but also get a good education.
Awesome. That's great as well. And I decided to have this conversation with men because I don't have the numbers in front of me, but most of our domestic violence victims are women being abused by men. Now, we know women also are abusers or have been abusers, and men are victims as well. So I wanted to speak to men and have get your take on why do you feel men don't tell they're being abused, if they are being abused, and how we can help the women that are being abused. But we'll go ahead and start that in a few. Kariba, did you have any questions before I start?
No, I don't. What I wanted to do is make sure that everyone had a chance to introduce themselves. So has everyone spoken? Because there are six people on the line with us.
Oh.
So, matter of fact, we got seven people on the line. So we have a caller from 786-487. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
My name is Pookie. I'm calling from Dude.
Hey, Pook.
Hey there.
Pookie, I'm baby. Please say the
What's
baby.
What's going on, big bro?
I'm kidding.
That
man.
Is our resident
work,
comedian. Oh my God.
Yeah. You know, I had to support. I seen that. I had to support my big brother, big sister, man.
Thank you so much.
Nah, no pressure. No pressure.
So what I'd like to do is let everybody know that's listening in. We have listeners all over the country and all over the world, especially some of our Russian and UK people. This panel mostly is the people that are in the Miami, Florida area where it's warm and hot. And
Yes.
We in Atlanta are very upset right now, but that being said... Also wanted to let everybody know that we're doing a special fundraising show, a pre-Valentine Day show on February 11th for domestic violence survivors and the organization Pain the Purpose and the Homeless Period, as well as we were able to get The Next Level, who is going to be performing, who is an artist, neo-soul artist, and Mr. Ronnie Rogers, who's a supermodel brother that is going to be the host for that. So we've been asking artists to help support the nonprofits like yourselves to make sure that you all get things that you need. So we want to thank Mr. Rogers again for supporting us, because in order to have a strong woman, you have to have a strong man behind you like this brother. Because he already knows she crazy. It's all out. <good. All> right, young woman, I needed to have surgery and be right back up like the next, talking about she needed a rest or something. I couldn't have did it. Ain't no way. She couldn't give me no more gray hair. But we thank God for you getting through your surgery and all your medical issues and stuff. So we pray that you all continue to strengthen the just not the Miami community, but as you see, your blessings are showing up here all the way to Atlanta and across the world. So I want to thank you all for being a part of the WMRDB family, the Woman Station, Atlanta Mix Radio. So thank you all so much. I just wanted to get that part out of the way and go ahead, Shonda.
Thank you. And I appreciate your prayers. I need them. I have a long road to go. I still have some more surgeries, but they're not going to knock me down that easy. I'm still going to go. But I need your prayers, so thank you. So let me go ahead and get these questions in. I'm going to ask my husband first, George Roberts. Let me read you all some statistics. 1 in 4 women and 1 in 7 men aged 18 and older in the United States have been the victim of severe physical violence by an intimate partner in their lifetime. The statistics for men are a lot smaller as far as telling what has happened to them. Why do you feel a man who has been abused by his intimate partner won't or is not as free to tell their story?
Well, I probably would think, you know, just my opinion, I would say, because a man should be built, or I should sort of say that a man is built to take the brunt, the blows or whatever that comes towards the family, whether it's an outsider or whatever. The man is built for that protection. But now, let's just say that man is indoors with his wife or his, you know, girlfriend or whatever, and some stuff, you know, goes on with the abuse or whatever, the physicalness or whatever, and it don't even have to be physical. It could just be, you know, verbal or just, you know, mental or whatever. And I think that the reason why the man won't say nothing, because maybe, you know, he... maybe, you know, getting punked by his homeboys of, oh, man, you know, you tripping, you a sucker, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Man, or he just probably just embarrassed to say, hey, man, my wife, my girlfriend, she's hitting me, she's doing these things to me, and that may make him look less of a man.
Mm-hmm.
And in reality, you know, nobody, man or woman, should be putting their hands or being disrespectful. You know, I try to, you know, talk to my daughter and especially my boys, because, you know, at the end of the day, they're going to come across females who like them, and then, you know, they may decide to, you know, go a different route because this girl is not who they want. So that doesn't give that girl a right to be all in his face, oh, you doing me like this, you doing me like that. And I definitely wouldn't want a man, as my daughter gets older, putting their hands on her. So at the same time, you know, us as men, we have to, you know, talk to the kid, talk to our kids, even if we don't have kids of our own. You know, just like Coach Tip and Mr. Lester say, hey, you know, they mentor, you know, the other kids, you know, from here to Broward and Palm Beach or whatever, that, you know, they can still stay in their heads as well, not just with sports alone, but just teach them off the field as well how to conduct themselves and what's right and what's wrong. No way they should be putting their hands on a female, and no way that they should let a female put their hands on them. So with that being said, we respect each other's spaces, and like I always tell my sons and I tell my daughter, if that person do not respect themselves, there's no way in the world that they're going to respect you. So with that being said, you know, the abuse, you know, unfortunately it happens. I wish it can, we can just snap our fingers and say, let's put an end to it, and that it will stop. But unfortunately, it is not. So with your organization, speaking to my wife, you know, you keep pushing Pain of Purpose, and, you know, I, as your husband, I'm going to continue to support. And I wish we had an answer for domestic violence. Unfortunately, you know, like I say, it's not going to stop, because it's some people out there that just don't get the picture of putting their hands and just being emotionally abusive, financially or whatever, that taking advantage of someone, that's not the way to life, and that's not the way of treating a human being. That's my right. That's my take on it.
Thank you, and you're right. I asked him that question because I don't know if you all know, but when I met George, I had just left an abusive relationship. And when you leave an abusive relationship, just because you leave it physically, sometimes your mind is still there and your actions are still there. And I became the aggressor. And I felt like since I had been abused, no one else was going to put their hands on me. So he could ask me a simple question, and I was popping off. And I was ready to fight, even though we didn't fight. I was, you know, had my guard in my grill and knuckling up, because I was already defensive because I came from an abusive relationship. I was already had the impression that, okay, well, if he's arguing with me, maybe he wants to fight. Let me, you know, get prepared. So that's why I asked him that, because a lot of men do not like to tell that they're in an abusive relationship because of embarrassment. But let me ask the coaches or anyone who wants to answer. But since the coaches, you all work with young men, what would you do, or anyone y'all can answer, how would you handle one of your mentees coming to you and telling you that they have been, or they're in an abusive relationship with a girl, or they're being, or they are the abuser? Any one of y'all can answer. How do you handle that situation?
I'll go ahead and answer first. Well, me personally, I'll make sure that it's brought to the light, you know, either way, whether he's the aggressor or whether he's being the one abused. I'll make sure that it's brought to the light, and I'll make sure that I play a mediator role for both of them. You know, I won't take any side, not to let them know the dangers of it. Because a lot of the kids, believe it or not, they think it's cool. At that age, they think it's cool to hit one another and to play fight and things of that nature, but they don't understand that it leads to a darker path. So I definitely make sure that I bring it to the light, you know, that we talk about it, talk about the cons, because there's not too many pros as far as when it comes to abusive relationships and putting your hands on each other. So definitely, I make sure I shine a light on that for both sides.
Okay. Mr. Lester?
Well, I think one of the things I do is I'm kind of going to agree with some of the things, tactics that Coach Chip is using, bringing a lot of this stuff to light. But I think I'm going to really focus on the individual kid and his family. And I'm going to ask questions like, how do you feel that you see your daddy whooping up on your mama, or how do you feel that you see mom whooping up on dad? You know what I'm saying? So I'm gonna give him something really to think about. Like, wow, you know, Coach is right. I don't want my daddy beating up on my mama, or someday you're gonna have kids. You want somebody beating up on your daughter? Those are the kind of examples I'm gonna use and really try to get through to the kid. And then I'm just gonna be real with him. You know, what the consequences are. You know, you hit a woman. I mean, that one time you hit that woman, you may be going and get locked up. You know, compared
Absolutely.
To, you know, if the woman hits you, you know, our society is kind of crazy. Yeah, I know they're both wrong, but if you hit a woman, you're gonna take the ride. But if the woman hits you, it's probably going to be a little meaty, you know, because, you know, man is not supposed to touch a woman anyway. You know, that's just the way it is.
Right.
No, and I decided.
Absolutely.
We teach our daughter as well. She shouldn't be putting her hands on her brothers or anybody else. And I feel that should be both ways. A lot of girls feel like because men won't hit them, or they know a boy or a man won't hit them, they will put their hands on them, testing them and trying them because they feel that they won't do it. Nobody should be putting their hands on anybody, because not that anyone is provoked or whatever, but you don't know anybody's breaking point. You don't know what may take them over the edge. So in that essence, everyone should keep their hands to themselves. However, there are situations, back to what we're talking about, but as far as the younger kids, yes, they do feel like it's cool. I talk to students and teenagers often, and boys don't think that they can be victims of abuse. They don't realize it. But there are girls who have murdered their boyfriends, who have stabbed them, who have stabbed their husbands, and you can be a victim, and it's not always physical. They can be verbally abusive. And we need to teach our children to pay attention to red flags, to pay attention to the signs, you know, especially our young men, because having an aggressive girlfriend or jealous girlfriend is not it. It's not cute. It's not the thing to have, and vice versa. Our kids are very impressionable, and for the young men that may come to you, and they are being the abuser, they may be seeing it in their home already, and that's why they're starting to do whatever it is that they're doing. My thing is, how do we help them going forward? And, you know, I know a lot of kids, I know it may not be a question that can be answered today, I don't know, but because it's been something I've been battling with, you know, how do we help them going forward if they're in a home where it's abusive? Yes, we can call DCF, and yes, we can call all these other things, but truth be told, that doesn't always help. Sometimes it makes the situation worse.
That's true.
I know we need to find a way, you know, going forward to help our children. Our children need to know that they are to be honored, they are to be loved, respected, and they are to do that in return to someone else.
I just have a question.
Okay.
Just to let the men talk. If any one of you all witnessed a man, I mean, really seriously,
yeah,
if you witnessed a man hitting a woman, I just want to know what, in the details, what would you do, each one of you gentlemen? What would you do, Coach?
Well, the first thing, you know, if I'm seeing a man hit a woman, the first thing I'm going to probably do is call the police, you know, call officials and stuff like that, things of that nature, because I don't want to just jump into a situation I don't know really what started the situation or really what it's about. Or want to put myself in harm's way. So what I would do is I would call the police and let them deal with it and kind of go from there.
Well, me personally, I've actually run across a situation like this before, just out and about grocery shopping, and I seen a guy just beating up on his wife. And it was actually recent. He was beating up his wife outside of the McDonald's. He was slapping her up. He had a child with him, and I actually intervened. My girlfriend was kind of mad at me, for the same reason that Dr. Lester just explained. You don't know what's really going on. You don't know the outcome, and you don't know if it'll spin on you. But fortunately, I intervened. You know, I was able to hold her back while he left, and her aunt came and picked her up. So maybe I saved her. Hopefully, I should have got her contact. But me personally, I intervened in that situation, and I think I would do it any other time without hesitation.
Well, you know, to piggyback off what they said, most definitely, you know, if it's someone that I know, I thank God that I don't know no one who, you know, that's out in the open, that's, you know, hits on their wife or their significant other or whatever. But let's just say if I knew the person, you know, I would definitely, you know, let them know what he's doing is wrong or whatever. But if I don't know the person and I would happen to see it, I don't know if the old me that would just kick in and just get aggressive with the guy or just approach the situation and say, hey, man, what you're doing is wrong or whatever, you know, and, you know, just pull the guy off the woman if it's just that bad or whatever the situation may be. And just like Mr. Lester said, you know, fall back and just call the cops and let them do their thing, man, because now these days everybody got some type of weapon, and, you know, at the end of the day, I want to go home to my family.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
You know, you know.
Not to cut you off, you want to, not to cut you off, but you want to do the right thing, you know.
Of
course. And like you say, in these days and time, your intuition is saying, get over there, break that thing up. No, you know, you
right.
don't get no woman. But the reality, too, is you don't know if she started it. You know what I'm saying? You don't know if she, or if he got a gun or something. You know what I'm saying? You go over there and break it up, doing the right thing, and you're dead, you know?
Yeah.
And so
the situation in society also is there's double levels of fear going on. There's the woman that is being assaulted, and then it's the reservation that each one of you all have. In fear of safety, and it just kind of don't you believe it kind of cancels out the whole scenario where because police, you know, police can't respond to everything, you know, immediately, and it doesn't take much for a man to harm a woman, you know, no woman is stronger than a man. This makes no sense. You know, you know what I mean? It's just, it doesn't make any sense to even sense the fact that she can't do anything with a man when he's angry. And it just takes one, you know, some of these crimes that I just watched of the victims being killed and gasoline on them. I was just doing some research on YouTube where they're just showing this murderous viciousness that's out there. How can a man get that angry, you guys? Would a woman do you feel that they can have that much anger in them to unleash, you know, just that wrath? What do you think? Do you understand what I'm saying?
I definitely understand. But me personally, I cannot speak for that situation. So I. Because I know I would never get to that point where I want to harm a woman. I just can't do it. You know, and, you know, I have some, you know, women in my past before my wife, like, you know, did some evil things. You know, Tutu, what she tried to have done.
I was just messing with you.
But, you know, I mean, I just couldn't fathom me, you know, hurting her, because at the end of the day, she's still the mother of my kids, you know, from my previous relationship. So, you know, to make a long story short, she tried to have somebody kill me. And like I told her, I said, you know, let's just say your plan would have worked. Who's going to take care of these babies? And, you know, by the grace of God, the plan didn't work because, you know, not to veer off topic, but she had someone approach me with a Tech 9. And had this dude was a vet at what he was doing, I won't be in this conversation whatsoever. I won't meet my wife. I won't have my kids in my life. I'd be gone. But, you know, he was a rookie, and that situation didn't happen. And I'm here today because, you know, by the grace of God, like I say, because, you know, it didn't go the way she planned. But I could have been very aggressive towards her when that situation didn't go the way she planned it to go. But at the end of the day, I still looked at her as the mother of my kids. Now, I could have had all sorts of rage towards this woman, but I just didn't. Now, had that would have been a dude, I'd probably been in prison right now today for that situation. But, you know, like I say, that's neither here nor there. But I don't know what would make a man get that violent with a woman. I just don't get it, because I always say to myself that you really got to be that much of a, and I use this, you know, very strongly when a man puts his hands on a woman. You really got to be a real coward to put your hands on a woman, because let a dude jump in your face. Now, the same quick and that same energy that you giving her with these fists and these blows, why won't you give it to that dude who's up in your chest?
Correct.
So I really don't know what makes a guy click and just snap on a woman to want to do something to her, you know. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, if you defending yourself, she got a gun on you or something, and you end up having yours, and you defending yourself, hey man, all bets off. You see what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, like I say, I want to go home, or if I'm at your house, or if we living together, and you pull your gun on me and I got mine, I want to be able to walk out the door. Then I don't want to be laying on this ground and thinking, you know, hey, man, I ain't waking up in the morning because you done pulled your gun on me. Now, if I get that gun from you, if that's the situation, whatever takes place, you know, then that's what happens. But I don't know. I leave it for one of you gentlemen.
Yes, honestly, to me, I share the same sentiment. It's hard to answer what would make a guy go ahead and put his hands on a woman, especially when we all share the same love for our mothers, you know. The only thing I could do is tie it back to what Sandra said earlier as far as breaking points. But, again, some guys just do it because it's in them. Maybe it's something that they grew up seeing. I know I remember watching that back in the day, Murray and all of that thing. You ask them, well, why did you put your hand on a woman? Because my dad did. So that's something that may be an answer. It's something that they're used to and something that's so common within the household. But as far as what actually makes a guy tick to put his hand on a woman, that's something that I really want to be able to answer.
I have a question. Okay, 75% of women are killed when they are leaving their relationship. I know a lot of people always say, well, she just leave, or she just go. It's not that easy to get up and go. Women need to, or the victim need to feel supported by someone that needs help. Now, that being said, women statistically will go back 7 times before they leave for good. You have a, you know, scenario. You have a sister, cousin, whoever, a female relative that you have helped leave a relationship a few times, and she has yet gone back. Now, she's gone back for the 5th or 6th time or whatever, knowing that it's a dangerous situation. How do you continue to help her? Would you continue to help her? And how would you continue to help her? Anybody can answer.
I think in that kind of situation, that's where she's going to need a great support system. She's going to need good friends. She's going to need good family. She's going to need people around her that she really trusts, and she know that, like, okay, they really got my back. They really there for me. And then she's going to actually have to be strong on top of that, because, you know, love is so powerful. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, you got the support, you got the people, and you make that move, and you move out, and you move on. But you see them again in the store, the same guy that was very abusive to you. You're like, man, you know, it was my fault. I mean, let me try it again. Let me try to make it work. You know what I'm saying? So,
right,
you know.
Right.
there's just a lot of components and elements that's got to happen for it to really happen. I mean, I have a friend that's a part of the same situation. She's in an abusive relationship. Every time things go wrong, she starts texting me and all kind of stuff. But then you know when things are going right because I don't hear from them no more. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So,
right.
I mean, so my thing is they got to be strong and they got to have, you know, that willpower to make their move.
Yeah. Anybody else have an answer to that or response to that? Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I was saying no, I don't have a response to that.
Being as though I've been that woman before, I didn't have anyone that I went to all the time. So you are absolutely correct, Mr. Lester. We should have, women should have, or any victims should have a support system. And they have to have someone in their ear always encouraging them. Always encouraging them and telling them that they how great they are, how they can do it themselves. So I appreciate the answer because they definitely need a support system. What I'm curious about is why do you think the number one reason that a man puts his hand on a woman, or is it really her, or do you think it's him? Do you think women can provoke men? What do you all think is the number one reason why men do abuse women?
I think it's because I think, and this is kind of a crazy answer, but I think it's because there be so much in love, and I think they love the woman so much, and then because they love her so much, they end up becoming jealous. So you know, a lot of times, you know, because like first of all, if you didn't love her and you really didn't care. You know, the way some of the guys look at it, you know, I wouldn't even put my hands on you. You know what I'm saying? But I love you. I love you to the point that when you look at another guy, you don't look at the other guy. You only look at me a certain way. You know what I'm saying? So I think it has to do with a lot of that. They love them, but at the same time, you know, in black people's speech, they're crazy as hell.
So you feel like it's insecurity?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Anybody else?
But think about it, because if the guy feel like I don't love her, they just just do what you want to do. I don't care, you know. But if they say, look, bring your buddy, why you always want to be with your best friend, or you never at home, you don't cook for me, stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? You know. So and then a lot of times that because you know they love that girl, you know.
But. So are you saying it's – okay, what I want to ask you. So do you feel that being insecure is a reason and it's okay reason, or that's something that man needs to deal with in order to not be that abuser?
I think it's something they need to deal with because it's not okay. It's never okay to abuse anybody.
Right,
you know?
Of course. I just want to make sure that was clear. That's all.
No, it's never okay to abuse anybody, you know?
Okay. Anybody else got a response to that?
Once again, he pretty much summed it up. Insecurity. Is it okay? No, it's not okay. It's basically insecurity. No man wants their woman to even think of another man. That's just common law. But basically, it's insecurity. A lot of men do have self-esteem issues. I know a lot of people won't believe it because it's so egotistic, but a lot of men do have self-esteem issues and wouldn't want their woman to be laying up under them while they're thinking about another man. So I think that would be more so one of the main reasons why do put their hands on females.
I spoke to a gentleman before that he told me that he was an abuser, and he told me that one of the reasons why he abused her or his ex-girlfriend was because he could not read or write. And he said that made him feel incompetent and it made him feel stupid. So when she would use that against him, he said that would make him lash out on her. Of course, he admitted that it was wrong. He shouldn't. But do you feel that women provoke men to hit them?
Yes, I do. Not in all situations. I don't want to be mistaken on this phrase that I'm about to give, but I think a lot of women, especially in my era, because I am a lot younger than you guys, a lot of our women do tend to antagonize guys. You know, oh, keep on messing up and I'm going to go see George, or keep on messing up and I'm going to call Tyrone. A lot of women do those things, and a lot of guys do those things as well. So I think, as a man, we are very egocentric. Even though we have low self-esteem at times, we do have big egos. So if you are sitting there provoking me and telling me, oh, I'm going to go get my ex-boyfriend, or I'm going to go leave you and spend the night with this guy, I think that will tend to push a guy to the limits of where, even if he believes in not putting his hands on women, he will slip a time or two.
And then when she tell you what you won't do, somebody else will.
Lord, yeah, Jesus.
That type of stuff.
I feel, and you know, it's something that women need to understand as well. And like I said, I said this earlier, you never know someone's breaking point. So you should never antagonize and provoke anyone and dare them to do something to you. But also, as the other person receiving it, you should be able to be strong enough to walk away, because a 10-second decision can change your whole life and someone else's life as well. So both parties need to be able to have some type of self-control. In relationships, when you're starting a relationship, when you're in a relationship, there have to be boundaries that are set. There have to be communication in place, because a lot of times people don't know. And I also think that it comes from mental health behaviors. A lot of people have mental issues and don't deal with it, especially in our Black community. That's another topic I want to ask you all about. Our Black community shy away from therapy. And that is a big thing that we need to enforce in our children, because especially our youth, you tell them therapy, they immediately think they're crazy, or you think they're crazy. And it's not necessarily because they're crazy, it's because they need someone to help them think through their thoughts. So another question to the coaches, well, since they deal with the kids, how do you instill therapy in them, or ask them, or do you think it's okay for you as a coach to say, well, maybe you should ask your parents to help you get some therapy if you see a continued pattern or an aggressive pattern in them?
I think it's okay. I think therapy is not a sin. It's actually very helpful. I went to therapy myself personally when I was a teenager for anger issues. So therapy is definitely helpful. I don't think any kid, I don't think anybody should ever be afraid or be shy to let someone know that they need help and need therapy. It's actually something that's beneficial. It's out there for a reason, of course. And yes, our Black community, we do tend to think, oh, well, therapy, I'm not crazy. No, I don't need therapy. I don't need no therapy.
Right.
And that's the common response. That's the common response, but it's not the right response. Therapy,
right. I feel a lot of parents I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I think a lot of parents feel like you're overstepping your boundaries if you tell their child to tell them that. And I hope in our community, our culture, that people understand that therapy is a big help, especially when you don't know what's going on in your head and going on in your mind, especially with our kids. They go through so much. They deal with suicide and depression, and their friends being suicidal and depressive, and they don't want to go to therapy because they feel they're crazy, or someone's going to think that they're crazy. A lot of kids come from abusive homes, and they don't know how to channel that anger. They take it out on somebody else. They take it out on, you know, somebody else that they're close to, because they don't know what to do. I wanted to ask you all, how do you help your brother or your uncle, your cousin, whoever, a guy that you know that may be abusing someone? How do you help him? Do we throw the whole abuser away? I don't feel that abusers were born wanting to abuse. So that being said, if you have someone that's close to you and you know he's constantly beating on his wife, how do you help him? Do you call the police on him? Or do you try to help him? And then how do you help her in the process of helping him?
I'll go ahead and start again. I wouldn't call the police right away. No, I wouldn't do that. I think that would do more harm than help. That'll also, not only will he have anger towards her, but also towards me, the only guy who can probably help the situation. So I would speak to him. And I wouldn't be impatient with him. I would speak to him, even if I had to speak to him five times over. Definitely just try to get a point to him, across to him, and let him know, like, look, you know, you're better than that. Of course, we all have our issues. You know, you can talk to me, reach out to me anytime. I'm here for you. I have issues that I like to share with you. You share yours with me. The way I would help her, of course, is just, you know, making sure she's healthy, making sure she's safe, checking on her as if she was my family as well. You know, not just checking on my brother and making sure he's not putting his hands on her. I try to see what's going on her end. Just to get her perspective of why he may be lashing out on her. And just go from there. You know, I definitely wouldn't call police off rip, though. I think that'll do more harm than help.
Okay. No one else has a response? Okay, well.
He hit the nail on the head. Yeah, he definitely hit the nail on the head. And, you know. Because, like you say, you know, at that time, with it being a family member, you know, it's not like it's totally complete strangers. So, yeah, it would do more harm than help because, you know, somebody going to jail. But you definitely, you know, would try to, you know, pull the resources that you can and try to get them the help that they need. And just like you say, you know, with the girl being in the family pretty much, you know, you just don't kick her to the curb because before all this took place, you know, you looked at her as family. So, you know, you need to, you know, come over, sleep over for a little bit, you know, chill out or whatever so things cool down. But at the same time, if he is the aggressor, you know, we see what we can do to help, because that's one thing I think where us in general as black men, you know, we all can get together and watch a football game, drink a couple of beers or whatever, or hit the club or whatever. But in dire straits of needs, can we really call our brother and say, hey, man, I need you? And that guy come over and give you that hand. And, you know, that's where we have to be accountable for one another. You know, if I see my brother, you know, going through something with his girl, you know, I can't just brush it off and say, oh, man, they'll be all right. They always go through it. No. One day he or she may not be able to make it that following day. So we got to step in and be able to help if we see it.
So when do you all
feel? This is Karima. I have something to say. My cousin, Jim, he's deceased. We found out Jim was beating his wife. And the way we found out was she killed him. He was kicking the door in and beating the door and all this stuff. And when he broke the door down, she stabbed him in a major artery, and he bled out. You know, when you have stuff like that happen and no one knows about it, until the end, then that's another thing. Well, tonight what I wanted to share with people was that I am personally a survivor of a domestic violence as a child. And I watched my father beat my mom and my sister all my life up until he started turned his anger on us, me and my sister. So he was beating all three of us. And he beat my mother for years. And then as we became teenagers, he turned on us. And the whole community, we were church-going family, the deacon of the church, president of the softball association, something to remason, you know, pillar of community-looking guy. But in the heat of the night, 2 o'clock in the morning, if he's drunk or whatever, you hear my mom scream out. And the only thing you can do as a child, as a little girl, is just cringe. And then, you know, the story goes on from that. You know, it has shaped my opinion almost for 50 years. on how I feel about certain type of things, and it never goes away. And I say this to you because when it was found out, my cousin watched and heard my father come downstairs and start beating me, and he didn't do anything mm-hmm. to help me. He was a grown man. So the person that's left out there, you know, the girl that's left out there with the no protector, they really change the way they think about situations in life, you know. And, you know, this is just my testimony, and I think that's why my passion is so driven, because it has shaped the life of myself and my opinion of things, and shaped my sister's life. And it just so happened that God blessed my mother to find a real partner after daddy died that's been with her for 20 years, and that's her friend. They just like the Roberts. They just friends. They ain't got no other friend but each other. That's it. Man, Roosevelt is Mama's friend, and Mama is Roosevelt's friend. They ain't got nobody else. That's it. Don't try to talk to them. But they try to throw us out the house when we come. He get all mad and everything. Well, you done spent enough time with my wife. Time for y'all to go. All right. Bye.
Karima, what happened with your aunt? Did she do time for that?
No, this was my cousin. First cousin, Jim, and his wife. I don't know what, you know, we were teenagers. I never even thought about it. Listening to you guys talk, it just brought back memories of when you don't step up and, you know, risk, you said, your lives and what, you know, whatnot, your safety. And this is, I don't know, this different time. And, you know, I'm in my 50s. So, you know, back then it was a little bit different. So, you know, we are living in a very trying time where, you know, everybody has guns and you have to be very scared of just even taking a person's parking spot because there's so many people out here armed. So just the thought of just maybe intervening with somebody that's already angry, I can understand that. Trust me, I do, because, you know, there's so much going on. But when you know, it's just the fact that sometimes people are reaching out scared. You know, young girls are reaching out scared for somebody to help and to step up. And, you know, and it doesn't make a difference if it's a man or a woman, but this is how our kids become trapped in sex trafficking and all that, because domestic violence is a level where the man takes every bit of power from that woman.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody, and she now becomes somebody's doormat. And so she becomes paralyzed. And that's the part I wanted to say. Now, my question is, if you all have daughters or a beautiful niece, and you knew this man whooped her ass, period, point blank, what would you do?
There he goes.
You want a political answer? Or you want,
right. Yeah, everybody's thinking right now. Okay, how should we answer?
Well, me, I don't have any kids, but I have a niece that's up in age. She actually is going to be 20 soon. So me, a lot of people know, a lot of the youngsters know, I don't play about her. She's mine. You know, she's just like my daughter. If I find someone's putting their hands on her, and she's grown, she's not a minor, so that means you're grown and you're not a minor. You're gonna have to see Uncle Tim, and that's not gonna be pretty.
Okay.
Nick. You know, I'm kind of old school. Blessed dad from my grandfather. You know, I go back to when I got jumped when I was little, and we were staying over town on 16th Street off of 3rd Avenue. And two brothers jumped me. When they jumped me, my granddaddy seen both of them. He tied both of them to the pole and made me beat the crap out of them. So I think I probably result to something like that there. I don't know. But but at the same time, like I say, man, you know, I couldn't picture nobody putting their hands on my daughter, man. And, you know, I just pray that, you know, she see the signs of definitely what, you know, not only I can tell her, but what her mom is teaching her. And through this whole pain of purpose thing, man, that this movement that she's doing, that, you know, even if this dude just decides to raise his voice or just get out of line or whatever, you know, get out of there. Because, like I say, you know, we came from women. Of course, yeah, the man, you know, he did his part or whatever, but our moms carried us for 9 months, man. And as a man, we should be able to cherish that. So I don't, I couldn't picture nobody putting their hands on my daughter, man. I couldn't do it.
Okay.
I'll do that, son. I'll let somebody else answer that one.
Was that Mr. Robert?
Yeah.
What did Mr. Robert say?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. He said he gonna let somebody else answer that question because it probably won't be right.
Oh, wow. Well,
if nobody don't answer, I got a question for anyone, because I know we were talking about the physical part. What about the man who controls the finances and he's, you know being, I would say, just manipulating.
Excuse me for a second.
You know,
anybody that's making that, I'm sorry, hold on. Whoever's making that rattling noise, this is a recorded show that goes into the TuneIn app. Could you all please stop making those noises? I won't be able to edit that background rattling and stuff out of there, please. Thank you. Go ahead, Mr. George.
Mm-hmm.
You go ahead.
You know, I know we've been talking about the physical part of it, but what about the emotional, the guy who controls the money pretty much, and this for whoever, because I don't know if my wife was gonna, you know, ask that question yet. I'm not quite sure, but it was on my heart, because, you know, when we hear domestic violence, we always think of physical, and it don't always have to be physical. So, you know, what about the, you know, the ones who are being controlled with the finances or whatever, you know, she can't buy this or she can't do this, or, you know, it's what he says goes or whatever, and, you know, she got to, you know, just abide by him, and he only give her a certain amount of dollars or whatever to go do whatever, and you know, stuff like that.
Well, in a marriage situation, I say, look, Mom, you have the power. You know, if he wants to fish feed you and spoon feed you like that, you have the power. You don't have to take that abuse, because it is abuse, like you mentioned. When you think about domestic violence, you think about the physical, but it is also
right.
And it is also financial. So that is abuse. If he's stringing you along like that, Mama, get up and leave. Same rules apply. Get up, leave. And in that situation, you actually have more power than him. Yeah, he may
absolutely
control the money, but you have more power than him. You are guaranteed half if there's no prenup. So, yeah,
Absolutely. Don't
stick to it. No amount of money is worth your physical and your emotional well-being.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry, I got stuck on mute. I'm trying to take it. I thought I was talking. Talking on the mute button. I'm so sorry. Yes, financial abuse is definitely one of the aspects of abuse, or one of the components of abuse. And then you also have verbal abuse. All of that is just a situation that you want to try to get yourself out of, if anyone's in that situation. Because I know some situations where women control the money and the men don't have any as well. You know, no one wants to be mistreated. So, you know, I really thank you all of you all men, for being on here. You all were awesome. I thank you. I really appreciate you. I want to also highlight your organizations, your business. So, Mr. Lester, can you tell us how to everyone how to reach you, your website, your phone number, and, you know, whatever it is you need assistance with, put that out there so, you know, everyone could know how to reach you and help you and your boys. Mr. Lester, you still there? Okay, Mr. This is. Oh. Hello, Mr. Lester. You can go ahead if you're there. Okay, go ahead, Mr. Johnson. Same thing.
Well, yeah, my organization is Team Soya. That's S-O-Y-A, and it's abbreviated for Saving Our Youth Athletes. I'm actually in the startup stages, so I don't have the website up yet, but it would be very shortly. You can always contact me. I'll be here at any time at 305-283-0642. You can follow me on Twitter at Coach Tip Johnson, all together. And always reach out to me, any questions about my organization, anything I have upcoming. I have a few marches upcoming that I'm going to do within certain neighborhoods that teenagers was killed, you know, different teenage athletes and as well as different teenage students were killed. So I definitely do have a lot of things that's about to start. Anything to help. I'm not a greedy guy. It's not about me. It's about the kids. So anything you may think of that will help, school supplies, water, sandwiches, anything, bread, meat, whatever, you can always reach out to me, and I'll definitely be more than acceptive.
Give your number again.
It is 305-283-0642.
Okay, thank you so much. Kareem, are you still there? I know you're there, but I mean a few of you.
Pookie,
cool.
Pookie's still there, right?
You're right.
So Hold on one second. We just got a new caller
okay.
in from Louisiana. We got Mr. Ronnie Rogers, who is going to be the host of the show for your fundraiser.
Oh, hello, Mr. Rogers.
Hey, how you doing, Mr. Rogers?
Hey, how you doing? How y'all doing?
All right.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate what you're doing for Pain and Purpose. Thank you so much.
Yeah, no problem. No problem. We all are trying to help out for a good cause.
Kareem, I wanted you to, you know, we had our teen summit in October, and we had an awesome, awesome host, and I really wanted you to meet him. And if you need him, he lives here, of course, but I really want you to meet him. His name is Sylvester Pookie. We talk Pookie F. Baby. He is a very funny guy, sweet, humble guy, and he is our designated host from every event we have. I don't know if he know that, but he know it now. So I want you to meet him. Kareem, that is Sylvester Kareem.
Hello, how you doing, ma'am? All
right, and it's Pookie.
Yes, ma'am.
You know Pookie. You know the word Pookie in our society, in our black culture, ain't never been no good. So
Pookie was rather skinny in our community.
Yeah, I'm a healthy young fellow.
Yeah,
Pookie
is a very good comedian.
I sincerely wanted to just get Mr. Rogers to talk about what he does in New Orleans and Houston and around the country, if you don't mind.
Nah, I don't mind. Now, what I do is I'm a fitness coach. You may as well say a life coach. So basically, I just uplift people, you know, to do the impossible, what they pretty much cannot imagine what they can do. And so, you know, by not only transforming their minds, but also their bodies.
And he inspires women to buy these tickets, because I must have sold 10 of them after I showed his pictures when I was doing the event break. That Lord have mercy, they gonna be so inspired here to buy them tickets now.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
It come with a lot with me besides personal training. You know, personal training just one side of. You know, I do modeling, and I just got into acting. So, you know, it pretty much comes with the territory of, you know, mind, body, and soul. That's pretty much what I do.
Very humble young man. Very humble. Very humble.
You have to be in this world. You have to be.
Very athletic. Very, very athletic. Very, very, very athletic, ladies who are listening. Tickets on sale at Eventbrite.com. Special VIP section.
are available. Please give us a call at 678-789-6095. You are listening to WMRDB, the woman's station. Just give us 1 minute, and guys, we'll be back, and then we'll close out the show, all right?
Okay.
You're listening to WAMRDB, Atlanta Mix Radio, the woman's station, the new look and feel of radio. We are now syndicated. You can find us on Blog Talk, Mixcloud, SoundCloud, the TuneIn app, YouTube, Spreaker, and Facebook Live. We'll be discussing a wide array of topics such as domestic violence, Me Too, sex trafficking, and health. Check us out on the World Wide Web at www.AtlantaMixRadio.com. Atlanta Mix Radio, the woman station, the new look and feel of radio. Come chill with me at the Back to Intimacy pre-Valentine's Day event featuring love, sensual poet extraordinaire, me, the next level. Performing live at Club 6340, Riverdale GA's hotspot for grown and sexy, February 11th, 2018. 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., located at 6340 Highway 85, Riverdale, GA 30274. Contact us at 404-392-4273. Dress to impress.
Trying to get it in there, ain't we?
So we in there. We getting it in there.
Yes, I have a whole. We have a whole different perspective about things, Shonda. I truly appreciate, you know, the suggestion of having the Mr. George on himself. Can't believe how you pulled that one off. But go ahead. Girl, that went off right there, girl. You did that one. We'll talk about that tomorrow. I want to thank you. Yeah, we'll talk about that tomorrow. Some other stuff down there. That's some juicy gossip. Anyway. But we really appreciate you men folks supporting the woman's station. I think I've been trying to let everybody know that, you know, just because it's the woman's station, we want the brothers to show up too. What you mean what we trying to say? We just play a lot of women artists, that's all. That's the only thing about it. We want y'all to show up. We ain't isolating ourselves.
What she trying to say is we cater to the women. That's what she's trying to say. We cater to the women.
All that chocolate on this phone. Lord have mercy, child. Girl, go close out the show. I'm about ready to faint up in here, child.
Oh, no, don't do that, please. Somebody give us some water. Some Kool-Aid or something. I don't know.
put
the fire.
Girl, Shonda, go ahead and finish for us. He's from New Orleans, so he got that did it thing when he said did it. You remember that picture I sent you, right?
You remember that picture I sent you?
No, I don't know nothing about no picture you sent me. You ain't finna get
girl,
me in trouble.
Girl, you was not. I didn't send you no pictures. That's my bad. I'm so sorry. I forgot. You were not one of the married women that I sent pictures to.
Don't be trying to interrupt my marriage.
But
at least I've been married 15 years.
Nobody,
I want to see 16.
Nope. I'm not doing that. I forgot. I did not send that to you. No, I'm not gonna do that to nobody. I just sent it to all my other friends that's single that need to work out. He's a coach too. You know he works out. So big girls just need to get ourselves together. We should do a workout before the show. All of us get lined up and do the workout and do something. But anyway,
and then we can't,
we
and then won't be
anybody.
Able to talk. Be out of breath.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know that's right, Chad.
That's pretty much what's gonna happen too.
That's it. That's all. So we just want to thank all of our men folks for showing up. Coach, thank you for dealing with us crazy women tonight.
No problem.
Thank you for having me.
It's a very intense thing, but we definitely want to have this panel again. Well, we won't be on the show at all. It'll be just an all-male panel. And I already talked to Mr. Rogers about that, so we have everybody's name and phone number. And we just want you guys to chop it up one night on the air. And that'll give you guys some more time to get this going. But we really appreciate Paying the Purpose joining the WMRDB Woman Station Network. And, Coach, we appreciate what you're doing. And we definitely want to support you and what you guys are doing and the needs that you all have. We will definitely get some fundraising situations going on and get a list of everything that you guys need now that I know how to ship stuff down places. we got a lot of stuff, so we got stuff to support you all.
Okay.
How can we get in finish the people that's still online? Could you please tell us your name, starting from who we left off with? And I apologize for cutting it, but I did ask Mr. Rogers to jump in to the show for us tonight. So Chef Roberts, George Roberts, is a chef too. So we always have catered food.
All right, you know, the brother love to eat.
So could you just kind of, so everybody, has everybody talked about their organization?
Go ahead, y'all. Go ahead and say what you
got to say. I'll go ahead and give my organization information again. Once again, it's Team Soya. That's S-O-Y-A. Abbreviated for Saving Our Youth Athletes. I am in the startup stages, so there isn't a website right now. But if you want to contact me, you can always reach out to me on my personal phone at 305-283-0642. You can also contact me on Twitter at Coach Tip Johnson. That's all together. And you also can reach me by email at CoachTip8817@gmail.com.
Thank you. I think we lost Mr. Lester. Mr. Lester, you there? I think we lost him, and I don't have his information. So whoever, anyone else on that has an organization or a cup that they want, I'm sorry, organization they want to announce? If not, then I guess we're done.
All right, you guys. Thank you all so much.
It was our pleasure. My pleasure. And thanks for having me.
Nah, no problem. No problem on my end.
And thanks again, Karima, everybody.
Yes, ma'am. Still in love, y'all. From the Monica Fly to St. Paul, Minnesota, y'all. this is that romance stuff going on, y'all. Don't forget, pre-Valentine's Day on February 11th, 6340 Highway 85.
They dance around
Yes, yes, ladies, yes. That's what I'm talking about. I'm trying to tell you, these are our indie artists. Real love. Look, still in love. We're getting up to the Valentine's Day show, pre-Valentine's Day on February 11th. And, ladies, I am bringing the brown, the caramel, and the chocolate to the stage. You do not want to miss this show. It is going to be the baddest show for women. And I mean grown and sexy women. The next level, ladies, I'm telling you. If you don't like the show, we'll give you back your money. We got Brother Man flying in, Mr. Rogers, tell me. Tell me what you want to do. Because I'm telling y'all, ladies, we got it going on at the Woman Station. This is what we do. This is how we do it. We're putting it down on a day-to-day basis, still in love, to the end of time. This is what we do. We want to thank everybody for tuning in to the new look and feel of radio. I'm your engineer and producer for tonight. But please understand that what we're doing is not just raising awareness, but we're shipping off 25 to 20, 30, 40, 50 pounds of pads and tampons and feminine products to individual shelters and organizations. And if you want to be a part of our pipeline and need our help, please get in contact with us. You can send us an email right through our website. We have some really, really strong men behind the Woman Station. I want to thank all the men of the Woman Station, Mr. Stan Lucas, Mr. Mario Coleman. Definitely on that point, our Vice President Mario Coleman, next level. Definitely want to thank my uncle, Mr. Butler. Definitely want to thank my brother, Bobby Bowen. And we got Mr. Rogers coming to the table, strong, athletic lady. And just check out him on Facebook. He's our Facebook friend. You'll be seeing some posts up. You can check us out on WMRDB Media Production. You can buy your tickets there. We have 3 VIP sections, total of 15 of you all can get in that big VIP section. Hit me up for special pricing. You can pop bottles, champagne bottles, all of that. Y'all can look us up on the World Wide Web. Please download our TuneIn app. Contact us at 678-789-6095. We thank everybody, our Miami network, Mr. George Roberts, Mrs. and Mrs. George Roberts, Shonda, and her husband. We got Coach and from the program in Miami, the Hard Knock Foundation Mentorship Program for Adolescent Boys, Mr. Timothy Johnson from Team SOYA, the abbreviation for the mentorship program. And we want to thank everybody for tuning in to Atlanta Mix Radio, the Woman Station. It is usually a wonderful opportunity for people that want to produce, want to have their show and build their brain. So I want to thank everybody for tuning in. You all can always call us in at 516-387-1251. Please do not forget to check us out on our Trans Woman Radio Network on Wednesday, and on Thursday, our political analyst, Marlene Dow, and Friday, we'll be having a whole new show, a roundtable discussion with all men, talking about what they want to talk about, and there you have it. We'll be back with you guys on Wednesday. Tune into the app, listen to us at the desk. And this show, you can listen to it on the TuneIn app. Freaker, Mixcloud,
Facebook Live, YouTube, and the TuneIn app. Appreciate y'all. God bless you. We are here to be a positive light for our community. We're fixing the problem. So please join us on February 11th for our domestic violence survivors. And we also are collecting pads and tampons for the homeless period chapters. So please check them out on their site. We're doing a fundraiser right now. You can look on our page, Karima Ali Bowen, and donate $5. Good night.
Looking feel of radio.